Welcome back to week 23 of our Philippians series. And Aaron is back.
I know. Can you believe it's been a while?
It's been a while. Welcome back.
And we're me. Talking.
Yeah. And you. Week 23, the joy of pressing on.
So when we jump back into this, this message was actually part of the one from 3 weeks ago, and it just came really long, and I kind of cut it in half. And I think if you can remember that one and this one, you'll see how they really, I think, fit together.
The joy of resurrection, that one?
Yeah, because it talks about that resurrection power, how we live in that every single day. And Paul has a specific thing in mind when he starts to talk about that, because he will move on from the understanding of that resurrection power to the understanding that we have been laid hold of by God because of that power, and yet we also live in it. So it's like this double thing of we have been saved. There's this thing that we attain, but God has already attained it for us. So it's like a double meaning in it. And that's why some people have a hard problem with some of these verses, because they sound like striving, but that's not how Paul means it when he talks about it. So he has this whole idea that, you know, we are not perfect, but we press on to take hold of these things that God has first taken hold of us. And as we start to work towards that, we can then have all the stuff in our lives that we get to then reinterpret in light of that resurrection, in light of the gospel. And we can speak about the hardships we've been through, the dumb things that we've done, and essentially everything in our lives get reinterpreted by what Christ has done, by what the gospel speaks about. Paul has these things where he will say, I tried to destroy the church. I committed heinous crimes. And without asking for his Miranda rights to be read to him, he tells these people in Philippi this. That is not the way that I would start off, you know, trying to be like, hey, everybody, you know what? I used to kill people like you. That's not how I would step in to try and do this. And yet Paul does, because he moves to the place where he says everything has been reinterpreted in light of Christ. And then he uses this word that I'm going to do a whole message on this in a month or so, about this word called phronesis. And it means having the same mind. And as Paul's mind has been changed because of the gospel, reinterpreting his entire life, this is what I did. God has saved me. He can do the same thing for you. Have that same mind of what he has done in your own life. So everything in your life is also reinterpreted through the resurrection of Christ, through the good news of the gospel and what he has done, because that will make us live as a people in the world who are no longer just focused on our past and all the horrible things that we've done or were done to us, but it's all reinterpreted. And so we can step out in the world and what everybody else has been through and say, Jesus can work in your life as well, like he's worked in mine. And it really makes us a missional, gospel-centric people. So in the message, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, in a trivial kind of way, but kind of fun, I'm going to show some pictures of me, like at my brother's wedding, where I got this super Mississippi mudflap, this great mullet going on. And I'm standing next to my brother, who I'm not going to really point it out much, but he has like this super sweet mustache going on as well.
Can't wait.
Then you look at it and you laugh at that, right? You know, this, and because you reinterpret that in terms of what fashion looks like today. I'm going to show my senior photo with, I got these peg pants. We call that, are you waiting for the boat to show up? I got this picture of my brother and I when we were little kids in these little suit kind of things. And it's all kind of neat, but you always reinterpret that in light of modern fashion. Like, in the world today, this is how we see it. And that's a trivial, fun way. But then I want to move that and say, Paul is saying in a non-trivial way, we are reinterpreting our entire lives of what we understand now. We understand the gospel. And so that can reinterpret where we've been and the things that we've seen and the things that we've done and the things that have been done to us. We don't have to hide them anymore. We can lay them out in front of people and say, God has dealt with me in this and brought me to himself. Therefore, he can do the same thing in your life. So how does the gospel allow us to be honest about our past?
Well, first off, the gospel is the great equalizer that says we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners that need saving. And so therefore, it should remove the shame of our idiocracy, right? Because we're all in it. And we're no longer in that state. So there's an already not yet. So we're already redeemed, even though we're still making stupid decisions. And so we can, on some level, laugh about it and say, hey, like, God's good. He's redeemed that.
Yeah. I think ultimately removes our reasons for fear. I think when we really in our hearts and our minds are like conformed to the reality of who we are before God because of the gospel, it frees us to enter into a deeper level of vulnerability than we would otherwise have because we know who we are in Christ. And hopefully we would extend that same kind of graciousness and understanding to others who are willing to actually be real about their failures also.
I think there's a lot of people who sometimes sit within our gospel communities and they have these failures. And I think there's even, you know, a fear to talk about those. And I think it leads to inauthentic community as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I really think that this is when Paul is talking about all of his credentials, you know, all the things I did, all these, and it enables us to not make our righteousness or our failures what gives us our identity. And when that's not our identity, we can be more real about where our resume comes from, yeah. Right? The reality that we are found in Christ because of his work and not our own, I think allows us to be more honest about ourselves.
Yeah. But speaking to, I guess, directly gospel community leaders, like I know something I've had to wrestle with is at times, you know, we went through like our stories initially when we launched our group, and I know some other groups have done that too. And there was this question of like, okay, how far are we going to go in sharing the layers of brokenness and the many failures? And this question of like, oh, will I be trusted as a leader if I expose this thing about myself? Mm. And I think in pressing in, because of the gospel, pressing in and actually following through with that, it forced us into this place where like, we had to come to terms with the fact like, if I really want to be a gospel-centered leader, it's not about heralding myself up. It's actually like, I'm going to share these failures with you because I need you to know that even despite my best ability or attempts in this capacity, you need a savior and I need that savior. And that's what binds us together. So I just want to encourage leaders. If that's a fear that prevents you from entering into that space, like recognizing at the core what we're trying to do is actually shepherd people to Jesus and not our best selves.
I think the gospel helps us to share our struggles like that as well. Like a couple weeks ago when the first kind of half of this message and I was talking about how I really want to have everything in my life be knowing Christ and the power of the resurrection. And yet it can feel daunting and overwhelming because my life doesn't display that. And the question is, you know, do I know the same Jesus that Paul knows? And it can feel like I just can't live up to this. But the beauty of the gospel is it's not about me living up to this. Right. Jesus lived up to this for me. Mm-hmm. And it's this is where Christianity takes surrender, mm-hmm. because we are surrendering to him. And in so doing, we gain life. But it's still the surrender. That's all part of it.
Yeah, if the goal is like sharing candidly in a relatable way the struggles that you've gone through so that people can join in that equalization with you, right? And my mind is going to inversely, you can just sugarcoat everything and not show any flaws, and it will be a really it can cause a lot of problems for people that are viewing that if they don't know any different, they might just be so discouraged and overwhelmed with thinking that they have to live up to this person that has figured it out, this person that has it together. And it's a total lie. And I think there's so many people that go through life never actually seeing that, never actually like realizing like, no, these people are so screwed up. I think that's how I feel like a lot of my upbringing was. There was a lot of things were very sanitized. I feel like there's another extreme, which also could be unhealthy. And I think this maybe is worth mentioning from a leadership standpoint is like, I think you can take that sharing too far where it becomes something that it becomes a point of pride or it becomes something performative.
Right.
There definitely needs to be, I think, a discernment in not sharing these struggles with some kind of a performance mind of like, I am the worst.
let me tell you about identity, right?
Yeah.
And we're bringing it back around to this is my identity because of my struggle and this is what I did.
Yeah. So long as you can find that balance of like, I am sharing this because this is a struggle and this is like what I am striving for. That's super important. And like Paul sharing both, like I have all the credentials. Yeah. I am blameless. I also murdered,
chief of sinners,
right? Like he's showing like this extreme dynamic range, and that is so disarming for everybody that is along that spectrum.
Yeah,
to see like you know, and here in the middle is where we want to strive to be, and we're not going to be perfect, but like we're working on this together.
And I love that he says this, right? Because you're thinking, I just want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Everything else is Gubalon and all that.
Skippity toilet.
Skippity-doo. And in the middle of it, right after that, he says this, not that I have already obtained this or am perfect, but I press on to make my own. He says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead. It's like, I'm not there, but I know that this is where God is calling me. And it's beautiful that even Paul says that.
And what Paul's doing is he's giving the glory to God. And I think all too often we can try to.
But not like a TV preacher. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
No.
Send me money. Glory to God. Yeah. So let us say what Paul says, right? Not that we've already obtained this, although we have obtained it in Christ, the already and the not yet, that we know what Christ has given to us. And our response to that is to love and serve and follow him and make him our highest aim and goal. So let's live in a relationship with him, and that extends out to others as we live in a relationship with them.
We'll see you next week.
I used to really like 80s butt rock.
You still like 80s butt rock.
I still like 80s butt rock.
Let's be real.